The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Heel Heat Podcast. This is your boy, Sean, a.k.a. Shaolin Shogun, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dwayne. What's up, bro? How you feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling great. I am glad we are back, and life's been crazy, you know, pandemic life, but we are here, and let's get into this episode.
Cool. So what we want to do today is we want to talk about WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania season. So I really want to try to get into the mood. We're heading into a very unique situation this year with the coronavirus pandemic and everything being shut down. So the way WWE is kind of maneuvering things, they're finally shifting WrestleMania to two nights. So really interested to see how that all plays out. So to get in the spirit, we're just going to jump in, talk about our favorite memories of WrestleMania. So D, to start off, man, can you tell me, like, what were your first memories of WrestleMania?
Well, so the first memory I have of WrestleMania, so this kind of goes way back to my military brat days when I was living in Japan and when we only had one English-speaking channel at the time. This was before we ended up getting, like, cable and actually having more channels. And even back in those days, there was only one channel that was English speaking, so you would be kind of like stuck with, you know, the best shows from America, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first real exposure I had to WrestleMania was actually from a taping of WWF Superstars.
Oh, wow.
Okay. It was like 93, and that this time it was WrestleMania 9. So this was like my real first exposure to WrestleMania. Now, it was pretty interesting. You know, as an impressionable 9-year-old, you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. Of course, looking back on it.
Right.
Looking back on it, it's like, oh my gosh, because it was Yokozuna and Bret Hart for the WWF title at the time. And this was also one of the worst matches I've ever seen in my life. And you already know which one I'm talking about.
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
One of the worst WrestleMania, you know, matches I've ever seen. And before I get into that, like, the pageantry of WrestleMania 9, Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas, definitely, it was a spectacle. I mean, outdoors, beautiful weather. You know, it was one of those times where it was just like, wow, this is pretty dope, right? And so there was a lot of good. There was some, you know, yeah, Money Inc. at the time, you know, against the Mega Maniacs, Razor Ramon and Bob Backlund. When Bob Backlund wasn't as crazy as he is now, I think, you know, age happens or whatever. And of course, The Undertaker and Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah.
That was
painful.
Yeah, it's painful to even think about, let alone talk about it. Even more excruciating to watch over again. Yeah, so that was one of the worst matches. Definitely the worst matches of the Undertaker's undefeated streak or whatever. Of course, you never heard of... I never heard from John Gonzalez ever again after that. And then, of course, Yokozuna winning the title at WrestleMania. So that was really like my first foray into WrestleMania. And so over time, you know, kind of went away. Because after, you know, my parents got cable, of course, you know, because parents, they had because we only had one TV at the time for my sister and I actually got our own TVs. I would then kind of got away from it, and I really didn't get back into it until WrestleMania 14, and this was when Austin won his first WWF title, and of course it was at the Garden in Boston. DX had the storyline with Mike Tyson, and actually this was like the year I got back into it. This was right after our family moved to Charlotte, and I ended up getting to know a lot of our friends from high school at the time when Attitude Era was, you know, reaching its peak status, right? And the first four, so I actually got back into it at Breakdown in Your House. This was in September, so I actually had to end up going backwards a little bit to kind of get into the storyline, kind of get used to the storyline of Austin versus McMahon, and learning that storyline, watching the match. That was a great match, and especially with the way Shawn Michaels performed with all the back issues he had, that was freaking amazing. And so that made me appreciate Shawn Michaels. I was already a Shawn Michaels fan at the time. It just made me rediscover how great Shawn Michaels was. It made me want to kind of go back into time even more. You know, kind of like relearn everything. So that's what I did. And, you know, from that point on, you know, it's been great. Then, of course, our first WrestleMania that we went to in Atlanta, that was special. The three after were special because, you know, you get to enjoy it with, you know, the people that you hold near and dear the most. So, and then 30 was awesome. Of course, y'all can go back to the first episode of our podcast for, you know, our thoughts on WrestleMania 30. That's where we met Benny and Keith as well. You know, two great guys. Shout out to Oigo Las Voces on that one too. So those are really like my favorite WrestleMania memories. I know I kind of went a little long on it, but definitely a great experience, and then even, you know, able to look back on these WrestleManias and see how it's evolved over time from closed circuit television to pay-per-views to from arenas to stadiums now. And I think Tampa would have been a pretty special moment. You know, we even saw Rhea Ripley on the Raw, you know, looking at Raymond James Stadium, you know, and kind of excited for that moment, of course, now because of the coronavirus. We won't be able to have that, but I think still it's going to be an interesting time, even though, you know, it won't feel like the normal WrestleMania, but, you know, it is, like you said at the start of the show, it's a unique situation.
Definitely. So mine's a little different. My first memories of WrestleMania go back to probably around WrestleMania 10. So that would have been 1994, Madison Square Garden. It's where Bret Hart and Owen Hart had their match. If I'm not mistaken, that's the ladder match between Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon as well. That is, so around 1994, that's where I started to see the clips from previous WrestleMania. So I had always heard about WrestleMania, so I knew about the moment, you know what I mean? So I knew about Hulk Hogan, of course. I knew about Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant in the Slam. I knew about the Mega Powers breaking up and Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage fighting at a WrestleMania. Hell, I even knew about Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy. But before then, I didn't know when those matches happened. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have been able to say Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant fought at WrestleMania 3, or Hulk Hogan and, you know, Mr. T fought Roddy Piper at WrestleMania, the first one. Hell, I didn't even know Paul Orndorff was a part of that match until around 94. You know what I mean? So 94 is when I really, really got the scope of what WrestleMania is, and where it had been, and really started to piece together the history of it. And it was really more so because, as I've said before, I grew up a WCW NWA guy. So WrestleMania wasn't my thing as a little kid. My things were Starcades, Great American Bashes, Clash of the Champions. You know what I mean? Those are the things that I can dig back in on. So around 93, 94, 95, I was in and out of wrestling. So I really got back. This is probably a little bit funny. But so I started to piece together things around 94. It looked interesting, but I really wasn't ready to dip my toe back into wrestling. The next year, I heard about WrestleMania. Didn't hear about anything but Lawrence Taylor being a part of it. I was like, Lawrence Taylor. Like, wait a minute. Lawrence Taylor? You know what I mean? So, you know, I didn't even know what else was on the card. But when somebody got that VHS, WrestleMania 11, I had to see Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow. So I think that kind of got the juices flowing a little bit. And then right when that was about 3-4 months before started middle school, 11 years old. So when I got to middle school, that was around the time the NWO popped up. So, and I bring that up to say, is with the combination of the NWO starting, and then later that year, Shawn Michaels beating Bret Hart in the Iron Man match to become WWF champion at the time, that's what got me back into professional wrestling. And I've been there ever since. So while I did not see WrestleMania 12, it plays a big part of bringing me back to the sport. So around the time 1997 comes, I'm all in. I'm ready for it. Unfortunately, Shawn Michaels lost his smile and had to go away for a little bit. So we didn't get the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels rematch. But if there's one, even though I was a WCW guy and I still had my WWF favorites, I think I've said it before, Macho Man, Mr. Perfect, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, those are my guys if I was going to watch WWF at the time. So when I see Undertaker about to go against Sid Vicious, now known as Psycho Sid, dude, I'm all in. You know what I mean? And I think right around that time is when I really started to look at WWF more. And that was really where the Attitude Era got going. That was Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret Hart's submission match at WrestleMania 30. One of the greatest matches of all time. I'm sure we'll circle back around to that at some point during this episode. And just the magic of watching both of those characters transition in that match. Bret coming out as the babyface, Stone Cold coming out as the heel, and Bret working the match as a heel. Austin, you know, powering through, taking the punishment, eventually passing out, not giving up, you know, turning the crowd. Now Bret leaves the heel. Stone Cold's the babyface, even though he stunned the ref at the end. It was just magic to see. So my first memories definitely are those small moments growing up as a kid, being aware of it. But it was really, you know, hearing from schoolmates, because that's where a lot of information came from, about WrestleMania 10, WrestleMania 11, and WrestleMania 12. By that time, I'm back full in. And my first WrestleMania, like as a fan into WWF as a brand, WrestleMania 13. I will say WrestleMania 14 wasn't fun for me because anybody who knows me knows that Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler of all time. That is never going to change. There may be a new number two in my life somewhere down the road, but number one will always be HBK, and that was the end of HBK's run with his back injury. So I will say I held it against Austin, you know, unfairly for a long time. Right. I was like, yo, man. I know he ain't had nothing to do with it, but like my guy is gone and he the one got the belt now. Fuck him.
I could hear you saying that. That's
you know what I mean? So I was all, like, who gonna whoop his ass? Undertaker? The Rock? Man, we gotta fuck him up. You know? So yeah, man. So good memory. So if we can think about all the WrestleManias that we've seen on television or in person, what would you go back to and say, this is my top WrestleMania match? This is the best WrestleMania match that I've ever seen.
Wow. That's...
I know that's tough. You know what I mean? And, you know, I would say, like, you know, you can talk about two or three that kind of stick up there, but I still want to land on, like, if you had to pick one match to watch, which one would be that match? Which one is your favorite?
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm gonna go 3-1 here on this one. So number three would be, I hate to say it, Austin Michaels at WrestleMania.
don't blame me, bro. Go ahead with it.
That it is just for the reasons I said before. It was the build-up was great, even though Shawn was going through his stuff. But the appreciation of him pushing through all that pain he was going through, I know back pains, I know they're excruciating, and that is. Something that is definitely tough to go through. So for him to go through all that physicality with already a severe back injury, him hitting that turnbuckle and still going through, missing out on the Sweet Chin Music, taking the stunner, and then taking a punch from Mike Tyson, of course. And that also, I mean, even when, you know, ESPN wasn't really all that big into wrestling as it is now, that match had really got me kind of like, oh, wow. This event is a sports center? For real? So, and it was a transition. I mean, it was the passing of the torch from the new generation of the WWF to the Attitude Era. If you really think about it. So, it was kind of like, it was symbolic. I mean, that match was symbolic as well. And that was symbolic in so many different ways. And, you know, that's what ushered in one of the, probably the greatest eras. Like, you know, unfortunately, there's still people who won't let the Attitude Era go. I get why. It was very entertaining. But there's also a lot of things in the Attitude Era, and me and my old supervisor used to talk about this a lot. There's a lot of things in the Attitude Era that was cringeworthy too, if we really want to think about it. But we'll get into that at a later show. So, but WrestleMania 14, because like I said, when I look back on it and watch it again, I can really kind of say, you know, I can see why I got hooked back into it, you know. And it wasn't that I didn't get hooked into it. I missed out on it because because I didn't want to watch it. It was more I missed out on it because I didn't have the people around me that were watching it. Because after my family came back to the States in 96, and we lived in South Dakota for 18 months, nobody was really talking about it until I actually got into a wrestling country. So that's how I kind of got back into it for me. So so that's number three. Number two. I'll probably say it's a short match, but it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. It had to have been WrestleMania 28 in Miami. And you probably know which match I'm talking about.
Which one?
Sheamus and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, man. Yo, you said WrestleMania 28, and I'm like, wait a minute, did like some like... That was the furthest thing from my mind. So I assume that is one of your favorite matches because just the circumstances of it being so quick. And right. and what the fuck? We didn't even see what happened.
Exactly. We were sitting down getting prepared. We heard the bell ring. You're like, okay, this match is going to go on. Next thing you know, 8 seconds later, we heard the bell ring. You're like, what the fuck? And so, like, just that was fun for me because A, that was one of my favorite WrestleManias anyway. You know, hated the drive, but it was worth it in the end. Never again will I drive down the peninsula of Florida. Side note, don't do it. And this is from somebody that loves to drive too, and that's the thing. That match, because of the quickness of it, because of the circumstances surrounding it, like, you're probably wondering, okay, two good wrestlers, this is going to be a good match, a nice long match, and it only was 8 seconds. And that was pretty much it on that one. So And so, number one for me, and I will have to say The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. I would say it was the second one. The okay. second match with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. Cause
WrestleMania 26.
Yes. Those two tore the house down. And the fact of the matter of this was in Glendale. And these two really just put on one of the best shows I have seen. And was it 26 or 27? Hold on, I think.
Was it was 26. Their first match was at 25. Their second 25. Match was at
26. Okay, because... That was a good match. That was a great match. Because that's when Shawn Michaels came out in the all white, right?
26.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So 26. Those two really put on a great show. Of course, Michael Lewis, quote unquote, forced to retire. And then I'll add the Undertaker Triple H with Shawn Michaels as a guest referee as well, because that iconic picture of the three of them at the end was pretty awesome to see too. So
look at you cheating.
Yeah, you know, I'd be cheating. It happens. You're right, because it was 26, because 20... Yeah, because I try to forget John Cena and The Miz.
Yeah, 27. We were at 27, and we didn't see Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
I'll remember that.
Yeah. We were stuck seeing The Miz in the main event.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Shit happens.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say about that. And there was a whole lot of shit at WrestleMania 27, which
in the crowd with the people behind us.
I got some shit on WrestleMania 27 coming later. So for me, I would say my number three would be Austin and Bret at WrestleMania 13. I mean, what can you say about that match? I think it's highly regarded up there as everybody's top three. I often hear when people talk about matches at WrestleMania, you hear Savage, Steamboat, Austin, Hart, and Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. And like, those are the three. So, unfortunately, you know, I don't think it's fair for me to say Savage, Steamboat. I wasn't watching at that time, so I don't know how it is to feel in that moment. And that's what kind of distinguishes me with favorite moments in matches at times, is I can recognize that something in the past was great, but it's hard for it to be a favorite, a personal favorite of mine, if I didn't experience it in the moment. You know what I mean? So while Savage and Steamboat, I feel is a great match, and it's something that I would watch. I watch Austin and Bret Hart.
You gotta watch it live.
You know what I mean?
You're at home. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was in that. So that's number three for me. Number two. Oh yeah, I've been waiting to drop this one on you. I'm actually gonna go WrestleMania 18. You know, You know where I'm gonna go with this?
I have a feeling, but go ahead.
So my number two, I'm gonna go with The Rock versus Hulk Hogan.
I respect it.
You know what I mean? Like, you know,
because it's you, I respect it.
Neither one of us are the biggest Hulk Hogan fans. But at the same time, I recognize who Hulk Hogan is. You know what I mean? The only period of time that I could really deal with Hulk Hogan was when he was in the NWO. And he was actually a bad guy. Early NWO, not late.
Okay.
No. There was a breaking point for me. Once we started to put 30 guys in there and we split off into black and white and black and red, it was over for me. So early NWO. But going back to WrestleMania 18, just number one, it was just something that you never thought you'd see. You know what I mean? Like, as much as it hurt for WCW to go away, it opened the door for so many possibilities that you never thought could happen. I never thought Hulk Hogan would go back to WWE. So for him to be there, to be wearing NWO color. So Hulk Hogan is back in the WWE and he's back in WWE wearing WCW colors. Like, how crazy is that? You know what I mean? And then him versus The Rock and all that The Rock had become. So you got those two big stars in the ring at WrestleMania in Toronto. Toronto's already an all-time great crowd, especially for the big moments and the big matches. And then just to see, just like I talked about with Austin and Bret Hart, yo, that crowd turned. You know what I mean? They didn't give a fuck about no NWO Hulk Hogan. They wanted real deal. Yo, we want the Hulk Hogan that was here. What was that? In the Sky Dome against the Ultimate Warrior. That's what we here for. We ain't for this NWO shit. You know what I mean? And for them to embrace Hogan and pretty much turn on The Rock like they did.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming. Honestly.
Yo, didn't see it coming at the very, not only say, I was about to say the very least, that was wrong. At the most, I thought it would have turned into more of a babyface versus babyface type of thing.
Right.
The crowd would give both of them support, kind of like they did at WrestleMania 6. But yeah. Nah, man, they're like, fuck Rock.
Right.
Focus shit. But then, you know, to transition from, you know, the crowd's response to the performers themselves, then you saw the performers work a different style of match. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell that things that were happening in that match weren't a part of the plan. So you see Hulk start to, you know, babyface it up, and then we see Rock start to work his heel shit. You know what I mean? So was it the best match ever? No. But the personalities involved, the crowd, the moment, it just makes it a great match. One that I can, it's probably the Hulk Hogan match that I can watch the most. I find it funny that a lot of my favorite Hulk Hogan matches are matches that he loses. So he lost this match. Let's remember, he did lose. The Rock won. Yeah. And just off the top of my head, it's like, what's another one of your favorite Hulk Hogan matches? Well, Goldberg Hogan, he lost. Yeah. Lex Luger Hogan, he lost.
He lost.
And my number one is, the reason I was like, oh, when you said Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, is because my number one is Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, but from WrestleMania 25. So
you know what I thought was gonna be in that list?
What?
WrestleMania 30.
Yo,
only because you almost got us killed. But.
You know what I mean? So when we talk about moments, and that's something that I want to transition to in a little bit. When we talk about moments, that is definitely a moment for me. I can't watch that match. Like,
yeah, the match
was when WrestleMania was playing on ESPN on Sunday. Like, dude, I was, while that match was going on, I was on my phone, on Twitter, on Facebook, on GroupMe. Like, I didn't look up until I knew that match was about to end. But yeah, my number one is Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. It's my favorite WrestleMania match of all time. I can watch that any time of the day. And it's hard to have a great match like that and come back the next year and be as great. I don't think the WrestleMania 26 match was better. I think it's a notch below what 25 was, and that's okay. What I think separates 26 from 25 is that 26 had the storyline of, hey, this is a streak versus career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It all started with Shawn Michaels costing Undertaker the World Heavyweight Championship, and they kind of build from there to kind of, you know, goad him into fighting him again. So there was more story to 26, which separates it from 25. But if I want to see match alone, I'm going with 25.
Yeah.
So, Dwayne, quickly, before we go into something highly entertaining that I want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
What's one bad WrestleMania match that you can think of off the top of your head? If I say bad WrestleMania match, what pops up in your head?
Undertaker, Giant Gonzalez.
You know what mine is?
What is that?
Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole.
Weren't we there for that bullshit?
Yes, we were. So, people, like, as much as WrestleMania, you know, means to us as fans, can you imagine going to, like, just go on Wikipedia or somewhere and look at what happened at WrestleMania 27, and that's what me and Dwayne had to, I don't even want to say experience, we had to swallow as our first WrestleMania experience. I'm just gonna leave it at that. So I don't want to dive into the worst match too much. I just wanted to see what popped up into your head. But going forward, we know that WrestleMania is the grandest stage of them all, and we always see big moments, big performances, cameos, all those types of things. So when we talk about the pageantry of WrestleMania, one thing that always sticks out is the entrances. So I'm going to toss it to you, Dwayne. When you think about WrestleMania entrances, tell me what pops up in your head. What are your favorite or most memorable WrestleMania entrances?
Well, Triple H's entrances are always memorable.
Yes, let's go ahead and put it down like this. And I'm going to throw one in there. And we can talk about individual ones too. But yeah, can we both agree that Triple H and Undertaker are the hands down 1A and 1B kings of WrestleMania entrances? It just don't get better than either one of them.
Absolutely.
Agreed. But I'll go ahead and let you continue.
All right. Yeah, so, yeah, and it's really, like, with Triple H's entrances, the WrestleMania 30 entrance was pretty legendary. And I loved how he joked about the he joked about the weight of the
shot at Wilder. I'm surprised on how many people didn't catch that. Like, there were people who responded to his tweet like, come on, man. Come on. Don't be clueless.
All right. Kind of like Carolina Panther fans. That's another story for another day. But, yeah, so, I mean, just think about that entrance. When you think about that entrance, it's, you know, he's got the gear, he's got three future champions flanking him, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss. And so that was pretty iconic right there. I gotta say too, with the Undertaker, since we're doing like 1A, 1B, Undertaker's entrance, the American Badass Undertaker with the motorcycle. I was always a fan of that, personally.
No doubt.
So, like, I could definitely say that, like, anytime he came down with the motorcycle, and then also learning the story with how the motorcycle and everything came about, it just makes it more fascinating and interesting. So, and with that. And I think also because it was so short-lived at the time, it was just good to see it. This was before I found out that Kid Rock was a Republican Trump-supporting douche. I was a fan of him at the time. So, you know, so that was one of the songs I rocked with. But, you know, there's certain songs I can't listen to because this reminds me of how shitty a person is, so... Haven't been able to really look at that the same, so there's that. But those two, I can say, and I'll even throw in one more. I'm gonna say Naomi's glow entrance at WrestleMania was pretty dope too. You know, the stadium went dark, the glow gimmick. She had all that room to do her thing, and I think that was pretty. Pretty dope as well. So shout out to Naomi on that one as well.
That's good. Glad you had a women's entrance on there. So since we haven't gotten a lot, but there have been some great women's entrances from the ones that we have had. So I'll kind of start off with mine. Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania 33. It's like that callback to Ric Flair. I love Charlotte's head. That was the year of the Fatal 4-Way, I believe, WrestleMania 33. Yeah. So that is one of my favorites of hers. Her dad at WrestleMania 24 in his retirement match. Against Shawn Michaels. That's a top WrestleMania entrance for me. Okay. Dude, I was going to forget all about this. The New Day.
True.
The New Day at WrestleMania 32. The cereal box. Cool.
That was original.
I almost forgot about that. It just popped up in my head. So New Day, WrestleMania 32, the cereal box. One of my all-time favorites And Dwayne knows how much of a Rocky fan I am, so I was digging the hell out of this, even though he shouldn't have lost. Rusev with the tank at WrestleMania 31 against John Cena.
That was good.
That was that was some badass Rocky IV shit. That, I would say my other two would be one, Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12 coming down from the ceiling. And last, I got to start off with where Dwayne started. Triple H always has great entrances, but the one with Charlotte, Sasha, and Alexa Bliss, yo, that's tops for me.
Yeah.
That was dope. I especially loved it when Triple H started using both of his themes during his WrestleMania entrances. So when he comes out, it'd be Kings of Kings. But then once that initial reveal comes, it switches
to the game. Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
Let me just sidebar. Quick sidebar right here. If you're a Triple H hater, fuck you. I'm just going
to say. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I know Triple H got his tendencies back in the day, but everybody does. Even your favorite does. But if you're a Triple H fan, I mean, if you're a Triple H hater, you ain't going to get nowhere with me or Dwayne. I'm just going to say it like that.
He's the Shawn Michaels, I'm the Triple H.
There you go. We are the DX.
Most definitely.
Any live performances stick out to you? Like band performances, solo performances, anything that you remember? And it's cool if you don't. It can be good or bad. So I'm going to tell you, and I could have the wrong event, but I kind of remember Puff Daddy being at a WrestleMania.
Which one was that? I don't remember that one, but
you got to, bro. We were there.
29,
New York.
Oh, the one I try to forget. Yes,
we were there. He performed that "I'm Coming Home" shit.
Oh gosh, yeah, no.
A man like, no.
Why do you have to make me remind? Because that's what he had, that Diddy Dirty Money bullshit.
Yeah. I will say one of my favorites, though. I liked when Living Color brought CM Punk out. Because I count those as well as musical performances. Living Color bringing CM Punk out. Even though it didn't sound good, they were hype with it. Yeah. WrestleMania 14 and the Chris Warren band bringing out Triple H and Shawn Michaels for their matches.
Yeah. That's probably the only one I really remember, really.
Snoop bringing out Sasha.
Yes, okay. That comes to mind.
A bad one that I can think about, anything involving Florida, aka Flo Rida. Florida.
Florida.
That is his name. Florida. I do not acknowledge Flo Rida. His name is Florida. Another bad one that me and Dwayne had to see in person, what was Machine Gun Kelly at WrestleMania 28. Yeah, fuck that.
I hate that dude.
Oh, yo. Ice-T, when he came out with The Godfather. What was that? WrestleMania 2000?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It was WrestleMania 2000.
Ew.
Did you say ew? That was hot, bruh.
Oh.
Ice-T came out with all the hoes.
Wait, that was Ice. Okay.
Ice-T.
I take that back.
He came out with all the
hoes. Anytime you have hoes, that's always a good time.
You know what I mean? He had to do something for his rep, because, you know, that's when he started to be on Law and Order playing a cop. So he had to tell him, yo, I'm still the pimp, bitch.
Yeah, he had to say, y'all forgot who the fuck I was.
Yeah, that's about it for me that I can think off the top of my head. I don't really count the America the Beautiful stuff. I mean, the only thing that I can think of that I've seen, Chloe and Haley's version, just because I love me some Chloe and Haley.
Right. They were great. You know who surprised me, though?
Who?
Keri Hilson.
Yo, I forgot about Keri Hilson.
Yes. And I think we need to stop going so hard on Keri.
I've been trying to get people to do that for years.
Like, I know the Hive and everything. I get it, but y'all need to leave Keri Hilson alone.
Boys to Men.
Yes.
Boys to Men did America the Beautiful, I think, at WrestleMania 15.
Didn't Yolanda Adams do it one year, and I was like, why is she here?
Did she?
I don't know. It was one recent.
It might have been. So this is the time where we get on our Google machine. Oh, Yolanda Adams was last year.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did ask. Dwayne did ask why she here. My response to that is because
Titus.
I wasn't going. That ain't how I said it, y'all. Oh, like, cause you fucking Titus.
That too. Accurate.
Now I'm kind of looking at it through all the because Keri Hilson was at our first Mania. Fantasia did it the year before. I forgot about that. I forgot about John Legend.
Yes, that was another good one.
Let's see. WrestleMania 19, Limp Bizkit, they brought out The Undertaker. I do remember. Yes.
Rolling. Yeah, I remember that.
Motorhead has done Triple H so many times. Like, they've done it at Mania. They've done it other places. I don't even think they count. To me, Motorhead worked for WWE, so I don't count them. Yeah, that's about it. Ashanti did it once. I just wanted her to shut up.
She blocked me on Twitter, man. Fuck her.
Oh, really? Damn.
Yes.
I wish she blocked them thighs on my... Let me stop. This is not the podcast. That is not the podcast for this. I would not simp on Ashanti while on this
program. I don't even remember why.
We're going to move on. We're not going to get into Ashanti. We're not going to do... Okay, Dwayne, quickly, real quick. WrestleMania pre-shows. Do you remember one damn thing from a WrestleMania pre-show?
No, and we always say no to pre-shows anyway.
There you go. I don't remember either. I remember that Battle Royals happened, but then that's not fair because Battle Royals happen every year during the pre-show. So, no. I am on that tip to say no's to pre-shows. All right, so let's kind of circle back to what we briefly touched on earlier. So we don't want to talk about matches or anything like that. Let's just talk about moments, kind of where I was going with, you know, talking about that Hulk Hogan moment. You know, we think about things like The Rock and Hogan staring down at each other at WrestleMania 18. Are Hogan and Andre doing the same thing at WrestleMania 3? Tyson knocking out Shawn Michaels at the end of WrestleMania 14. So those are kind of what I'm leaning towards when I'm talking about WrestleMania moments. So kind of share with us your favorite WrestleMania moments.
Favorite WrestleMania moments. Let's see. DB winning at 30. That'll be number 3.
Okay.
Just seeing everything that he went through to, and the long drawn out process that he had to go through in order for everything to culminate with that win. So that's, I will say, so yeah, that was 3. Number 2, probably alluded to it earlier, the match where Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels after 28. Yeah, so after 28, all three of them were at the top of the ramp, and it was kind of like what we thought at the time, a symbolic end of an era.
Yep. We thought. But Saudi Arabia.
Right.
But I heard if it didn't happen in the United States, it didn't count.
Hey, I'll allow it. So, and then I'm trying not to laugh because I looked at the various reasons why I got blocked on Twitter by Ashanti, but again, we're going to focus back. Number 1 would be probably the moment that we almost died in New Orleans because of you. So.
Stop! Don't be telling the people that.
They already know. It's the truth. Just like you blamed me for your PlayStation going dead after I told you not to do certain things, but you did it anyway. So yeah.
We're not going there.
Those were my 3 right there.
Okay. So before I get into mine, yeah, I do want to talk about some moments that, you know, before I started watching WWE on a regular basis that kind of stick out to me. I do love the, what is that, WrestleMania 7, when Macho Man and Elizabeth got back together. That's a big moment for me. Yeah, that might be all of like past. No, I like some salty shit too. Like WrestleMania 10 when, so I've heard a lot of people that talk about WrestleMania 10 and Bret Hart winning the title from Yoko at the end and that big crowning moment of Bret Hart at the end where everybody has Bret up on his shoulder and celebrating. And as much as I love Bret Hart, he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I will say right here, fuck that moment. Here's where the real moments of that time really are like the best moments. One, when they are holding Bret on his shoulder celebrating. I don't think we don't tend to talk about how Luger is one of the ones that is carrying Bret. Y'all remember Luger had a title match earlier that day and lost. Didn't he win by count out or some shit like that? Whatever, he didn't win the belt.
He didn't win the belt, right.
Luger wasn't celebrating. He was looking dead up at Bret like, man, fuck this. That was funny. And then Owen Hart coming out at the end. Like, what the fuck? Like, I just beat you, dude. But you got the belt.
That's that bullshit.
So that sticks out to me. One of my favorite WrestleMania moments is WrestleMania 30 with Stone Cold, The Rock, and Hulk Hogan in the ring. Big shout out to Hulk Hogan. God. Come on, man. Hulk was highly entertaining in that space, especially calling the Superdome the Silver Dome repeatedly. Come on, man. That was funny. Dude, you were with me. You were laughing. It was funny.
I mean, I was laughing at the fact that Hogan was a fucking idiot.
Okay, but it was funny. Funny matters. Funny. Tell y'all, tweet Dwayne and tell him funny moments matter.
I'm gonna have my mentions flooded with funny moment hashtag funny moments matter.
There you go, hashtag funny moments matter. I'm just gonna toss this out. And I'm gonna say it and I'm gonna move on. WrestleMania 20, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero. That's it. I would also say
that moment.
The blood dripping fool's face at WrestleMania 13. Big moment there. The stare down between Rock and Hogan at 18. Great moment. Shawn Michaels celebrating at WrestleMania 12. The I'm sorry, I love you from Shawn Michaels at 24. And then, yeah. Well, I got two more. So, I was going to end on WrestleMania 32 with Undertaker losing. Because there's so much into that. You know what I mean? Not only the shock and awe from the crowd. Like, and when I say crowd, everybody knows. When I say Undertaker guy, everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
So yeah, those whole moments in the Undertaker losing, great moment. I know it's unpopular, and I do want to like do a deep dive on this in the future. I know this was an unpopular call by a lot of people, including the people involved, but I actually liked the end of WrestleMania 17. Like the image of Austin in the ring, shaking the hand of Vince McMahon, like that's glued in my head. Like I think that there's so much they could have did with that. The only thing that was wrong with it is that they did it in Texas. It was never going to work in Texas. So I disagree with Stone Cold in saying that they shouldn't have done it. I just don't think they should have done it in Texas because Texas was never going to boo him, whatever he did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. So I'll go ahead and kind of wrap this up a little bit. We talked about a lot of different WrestleMania moments and matches. But the one thing that we haven't touched on, Dwayne, is performers. So, Dwayne, I'll throw it to you. Who do you believe are the top WWE WrestleMania performers of all time?
Well, Mr. WrestleMania starts with Shawn Michaels, for one. I mean, nobody elevated their game at WrestleMania more than he did. And then number two. And then also, and I kind of base this on putting people over as well. So nobody did that better than Shawn Michaels.
Can I pause real quick? I just want to throw this out there. Shawn Michaels has a losing record at WrestleMania. So we call the person who we call Mr. WrestleMania has lost more matches at WrestleMania than he's won. I don't think people realize that.
And that just shows, like, behind the scenes, what great of a worker he is, because people can be selfish and want to have the biggest stage to themselves at all times. Whereas I think those that have a losing record, like Shawn Michaels, like a Triple H, they're sacrificing their WrestleMania records to put the next guy over. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes those two, and I'm going to include Triple H in this, among the tops for me. And of course, you mean can't have WrestleMania without the streak with the Undertaker there, of course, because let's face it, I mean, the streak, even though there were some god-awful matches in the time, but you know, we always kind of, the question has always been like, why Brock, why Lesnar, da 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 da. I don't think it would have been a problem. I mean, Undertaker signed off on it, so apparently, you know, obviously he was okay with it when they set this up, so, you know. I still don't like it, but I accept it. But it is what it is. So I would say Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Undertaker, and even though I don't like the man Hogan, I mean,
I knew it was coming. I knew it, yo. I felt Dwayne pain in it. You know what I mean? He didn't want to say it, but he had to say it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I knew, you know. And if you would have stretched it out a little bit more, I was gonna jump in. I was gonna say, you know what, bro? I got you. I'll say it for you. I'll say it for you.
That's why I appreciate you.
So I agree. You really can't say WrestleMania without giving some props to Hulk Hogan. I mean, the first 9 WrestleManias, even though probably 6 of the, well, not 6, 3 of those shouldn't have been about him. But for WrestleMania 1-9, Hulk Hogan was a big, big part of it. So you can't say WrestleMania without performers, without recognizing Hulk Hogan. Shawn Michaels, obviously, Dwayne already hit on it. I do want to expand a little bit more on Triple H. Triple H is another one who gets a bad rap on, number one, how many WrestleManias that he's had. So what? You complain about Triple H being in so many WrestleMania matches, but then when he has his WrestleMania match, you're like, damn, that was good. Like, you can't name too many bad Triple H matches at WrestleMania. Like, off the top of my head, his match against Ultimate Warrior was bullshit. Match against Randy Orton at 25, man. Other than that,
that was when Orton was going through his shit, though, right?
Yeah. And then that match. Well, and then Triple H versus Chris Jericho too at 19. Because both of those main evented, and both of those went after matches that it shouldn't have went after, like Triple H and Jericho shouldn't have. Hold on, am I getting that right? Was Triple H and Jericho at 19?
Yeah.
It was at 18.
Yeah, it was.
The bullshit with Triple H at 19 was that he beat Booker T.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With Triple H, you know, and Jericho, they went on after Hogan and Rock what nothing you could do to top that. Same thing with Triple H and Orton at 25. That was right after Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. Yeah. But Triple H, you know, he has way more good ones than he does bad ones, and I think he gets a bad rap for that. So Undertaker as well. Undertaker's got some stinkers, of course. But that's more so because they try to throw every big person at him. Can't say, but you can't say WrestleMania without Undertaker. I'm going to throw out Charlotte Flair. Charlotte's had matches at 32, 33, 34,
35, correct? Right.
Name one bad one.
Can't.
You take her out of some of her matches, what happens to them?
They're shit.
That's all I'm going to say. Charlotte Flair.
It's so funny how people hate on Charlotte Flair. Like, motherfucker, do you see the work she puts in?
Yo, like,
and it's not off her, and it's not off her name. She's doing that work.
Like,
stop
look,
fucking hating on Charlotte Flair. Hating on Charlotte Flair.
Look at the FCW documentary. Go back to early NXT episodes when Charlotte debuted. Watch her in that space, and then fast forward to her WrestleMania match against Asuka, and you tell me that her name got her there. Nobody, even Charlotte herself, will say, yeah, my name got me into WWE. I didn't have to go through the indies and all that to get a spot at the Performance Center. Ain't gonna deny that. Yeah. But when she got there, she worked her ass off. And you can't tell me she is the best all-around female performer in WWE. And there's nothing you can tell me that she's bad at.
Right.
And if you do, you're a hater. So I'll say Charlotte Flair. I'm a toss out Edge.
Yeah.
Not only because of his tag team history at WrestleMania, but he's had some great spots as a solo. Money in the Bank. One of my favorite WrestleMania matches. Now, I just gave you three, but if I would have gave you a top 10, Edge and Foley would have been in that. I love that match. WrestleMania. Edge and The Undertaker is one of my favorite. That was Citrus Bowl 24. A lot of people don't think about that because Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair. So that overshadows it a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Edge has had a real solid WrestleMania resume. And even though ain't nobody going to be in the stands, I feel like he's going to add to that WrestleMania 36 against Randy. I love the fact that that match is going to be last man standing. I'm just looking forward to some real good shit from Edge and Randy Orton. Those are some people that stick out. I think there are some others. I just don't think, you know, I think there's some names like The Rock, Daniel Bryan, and some others that have great moments. But I don't think they have enough great matches at WrestleMania to kind of throw their names into the conversation.
Kind of the same with Cena too.
Well, yeah, I was gonna talk about Cena to kind of wrap it up. Like, I don't think main eventing WrestleMania a whole bunch of times makes you a great WrestleMania performer.
Right.
It's really a mixed bag with John Cena to me. Now, in a lot of spaces, a lot of spaces, Cena, you know, steps up and, you know, carries his load in a big match. But I don't really think Cena had a great WrestleMania match until Detroit at WrestleMania 23 against Shawn Michaels. And then after that, like, I don't know. It's hard for me to be like,
he should have lost to the Fiend. Like, should have lost to Bray Wyatt at 30.
He should have. Like, I don't know. It's just like, yo, we're not real big fans of Hulk Hogan, but Hulk Hogan matches at WrestleMania kind of stand the test of time. You know what I mean? Yeah.
There's nothing of Cena that is like, in that moment.
Like, outside of Cena versus Shawn Michaels, like, nothing else drops. Like, it was cool to see Cena and The Rock at WrestleMania 28. But I damn sure didn't need to see it again at WrestleMania 29.
That was just serious shit. And 28, and at WrestleMania 28, that's like one of the few times where Cena carried the match.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think there's other matches of Cena that outside of WrestleMania that are great for him. I think Cena is missing a lot of great WrestleMania moments or matches. That makes sense. It's like,
agreed.
Didn't Cena have a match against Batista? Like, I kind of remember it was decent, but yeah. I also remember I was kind of disappointed in it as well. Yeah. I thought it should have been better.
That was a match that should have been made in like when they both were at the top of their game.
Like, and the fact that that match did not, I mean, I kind of understand why it wasn't the main event. It wasn't the main event because it was at WrestleMania 26, and that was Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker in Shawn Michaels' last match. But it's really not that. Like, from that show, WrestleMania 26, I remember Triple H, Sheamus, Bret McMahon, Jericho, Edge, Taker, Michaels, before I would even get to Cena and Batista. You know what I mean? So,
yep.
Props to Cena. He has a lot of big matches. He's main evented a lot of WrestleMania, but like, I don't kind of count in, you know, feel free to disagree. Hey, you know, send your angry tweets to Shaolin Shogun MA. I don't give a fuck what you say, but I'll let you express yourself. Or or Heel Heat Pod, tell us how much you love John Cena at WrestleMania. Make the argument for John Cena being a great WrestleMania.
That's what he does.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm good with being persuaded, but just know if you...
Are you?
You know what I mean? I am. You know, you can change my mind about stuff. You know what I mean? In my elder days, I'm more open to being persuaded. But just know, if you're gonna persuade me, come with the thunder.
The facts.
Yeah, because I don't deal with feelings. I don't deal with feelings. I deal with logic, people. I deal with facts. All right. So wrapping it up, Dwayne. If I say the word WrestleMania to you, what does it mean?
That means when I look at WrestleMania, I look at the vision Vince McMahon had and the follow through on that vision. Like, when this was created in 1985, nobody had any idea how it was going to pan out. And now we've had 36, or about to have 36 installments continuously at that. That's I think that's what makes it even more significant. There have been no breaks. There have been no stoppages. Like, this is, you know, you always say the grandest stage of them all, the Super Bowl of wrestling. And it is. I mean, look how much has evolved over these 36 years. I mean, even with these unique situations, the show is still going on. Like, even though there are calls for them to, you know, not even call this, see this event coming up, WrestleMania, and have it at Madison Square Garden, which likely won't happen, but obviously. But it's such a great event, and it's really special because you see so many people. The 7-week period of the Royal Rumble to the WrestleMania moment, like, you see people elevating their game. You see superstars wanting to be, even in the pre-show. I mean, because if you're in the pre-show, you're still part of it in a sense, but I mean, you want to be in that WrestleMania event. You want people to watch your matches. You don't want to be people in the concession stands or getting their popcorn and sodas, watching. You want people there to watch those matches, be in that moment. And you want those moments to stand out through the test of time. And there have been so many iconic moments. I mean, we also, one thing I forgot was the Randy Orton RKO Seth Rollins. That was like one of the best RKOs I've ever seen in my life. And then Seth Rollins with the heist of the century winning at 31. So, like, those moments, for example, are like really great. So I think WrestleMania just means that so much is at stake, so much is going on, and people elevate their game to probably levels they never even experienced. And it's always a great thing to see, especially when there's somebody up and coming or somebody that's new trying to evolve and things of that sort.
Definitely. I think you kind of hit it right on the nail. WrestleMania is about moments. One of the things that I wanted to do with today's show is I just wanted to talk about WrestleMania off the top of the dome. You know, didn't want to do any research or pre-plan anything. Just start to talk about WrestleMania and see what we could come up with. And I think WrestleMania is unique in a sense where we can think about all these players, whether it's, you know, Vince McMahon himself, or celebrities, actors, musicians, the performers themselves, the matches, the cities, the numbers, you know what I mean? This happened at WrestleMania 30, this happened at 19, you know what I mean? Like, WrestleMania, the spectacle, the moments, the pageantry, all the memories and matches that come from it, they're special. You know, it is what we look forward to each year as professional wrestling fans. This is, we come to WrestleMania to be entertained, to be shocked and awed, and, you know, share memories that will last with us for a lifetime. And that's why it's was so important for, you know, me and Dwayne to actually experience WrestleMania in person. You know, because anybody can go to Avengers pay-per-view, or or you can go to In Your House, or something like that. You know, something like that. But WrestleMania, you know what I mean? Like, the person down the street, if you stop them and say, hey, did you see Backlash yesterday? What the fuck are you talking about? But if you say the word WrestleMania, even if they don't know who's in WrestleMania, who's on the card, who's in WWE,
talk about wrestling.
Like, yeah, they know what WrestleMania is. It's part of our culture. It's part of our society. It's embedded into us. And WrestleMania is an event that brought me back to wrestling and has kept me consistently in wrestling without any breaks since 1996. My favorite wrestler won a title and had his moment at WrestleMania. That is my first really WrestleMania moment that I felt. And that's things that stick with you, people that stick with you, moments that stick with you. So, you know, the grand stage of them all, like that means something. You know what I mean? That's when the best of the best put on their best and they make magic happen for you. And that's what I always appreciate. You know, I know that no matter what somebody does on a random episode of Raw or SmackDown or Main Event or NXT, whatever show that they're on, I know that folks are going to give their best with what they have at WrestleMania, and I truly appreciate that from each and every performer. So WrestleMania is special, and even though that we're dealing with what we're dealing with in our society right now, I hope that people, I know that there's a lot of things, and they're well deserved, that we can get on WWE for. But I want everybody to really appreciate what they're trying to do to still give us something for WrestleMania 36. No, it's not going to be in Tampa. You know, even the news today that Roman Reigns has dropped out due to concerns with his health and, you know, his continued recovery with leukemia. And we all certainly understand that. So whatever decisions that individual performers make for themselves, please support that. But also appreciate those who make the decision to actually put on a show for you. It's still WrestleMania. Just think about it. You know, a damn near 20-year vet like Randy Orton is going to step into a ring with an over 20-year vet, Edge, who hasn't wrestled in how many years? Nine years?
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that. Because neither one of them have to do that.
Right.
Appreciate every moment that Daniel Bryan gives us. Appreciate that 55-year-old Undertaker will still get in the ring for you, empty arena or not. As much as you talk junk about him having the belt, and how difficult it's going to be for him to get into the United States from Canada, appreciate your WWE champion Brock Lesnar for showing up and doing what I know he's going to do for Drew McIntyre. Appreciate that. So I just say,
don't give Brock the credit he deserves.
And that's it's not the mania that we're used to. We hope that, you know, nothing like this ever happens again where we have to experience a WrestleMania like this. But let's rally around and actually appreciate what WWE is giving us for WrestleMania 36. it's still WrestleMania. And if we infuse that spirit in it, it'll still be a space where we can still continue to make the memories that we have with previous WrestleManias. All right. So that's going to wrap us up today in our trip down memory lane with WrestleMania. I will say that coming up, we will react to this year's WrestleMania on our next episode. And then following that, we want to jump in and take a look back at the Dark Side of the Ring episode that just premiered this week on Chris Benoit. So if you haven't seen that, please, please, please check that out before you listen to our episode on Chris Benoit. Following Chris Benoit, we're going to circle back to Dwayne's favorite topic so he can get his rant on. We'll be talking about the infamous Angle finger poke of doom. And then and then we'll talk about a match that I'm going to have hella fun with. We're going to look back at Backlash 2006, the main event from that show, a no-holds-barred tag team match. It's Vince and Shane McMahon versus the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and your Heavenly Father making his WWE debut, God.
Hilarious.
I was waiting on that laugh.
Can't wait for that.
That's all right, people. In closing, be safe. Keep away from, keep your 6 feet away from people. If you know people who don't normally keep soap, sanitizer, and toilet paper in their homes, definitely stay away from those people.
Stay 12 feet away from them.
There you go. No, just don't go nowhere near them. You know, don't let them near you.
Tell and them if there's out. Any toilet paper left on Interstate 85 in Gastonia, Gastonia do better. That's toilet right, paper people. Folks could be hoarding.
All right, people, you can follow me at Shaolin Shogun MA on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Twitter at The Libra Icon. Once again, our show podcast is Heel Heat Pod. You can use the hashtag Heel Heat Pod as well. Let us know your thoughts as well. And if you have anything to say to us directly, you can either hit us up on the podcast or personally. Unless you have the facts and logic, we won't give a shit. So there we go. Gotta throw that in. So.
Thank you. That's important. All right, people. Be safe. Talk to you soon.
Wonderful.